Unit 38, that's a 10-1, that's half 36. Copy, that's 1-4, show us on route, ETA 2 minutes.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Running Code, where you, the viewer, get to know a little bit more about us, the men and women of the Newport News Police Department. Nice to see you, Melissa. How are you?
It's good to see you.
Yeah,
we're doing good. How are you?
I'm doing splendidly. Thank you. We have an outstanding guest today, I might add.
We do. We have a pretty interesting guest out of the, what do we have, four chiefs?
Yes, three assistants.
We have four,
and
so
one chief.
We've got one here with us today. Chief Brandon Creswell, how are you today, sir?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Good.
Yeah, thanks
for
joining us. Absolutely.
Yeah, this is going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be fun. You're in the hot seat today, Chief.
Okay.
How does that feel?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll find out.
All right. You want to tell the viewers a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So, been with the police department about 22 years. Born and raised in Newport News. In fact, family still live in the Denby area. So, that's where I grew up. Like I said, kind of done a lot with the police department, kind of been all over the place as a officer, a detective, a supervisor. I was with the SWAT team for about 10 years, just doing various duties with the SWAT team, operator, team leader, and a team commander. And I guess with the police department, detective, narcotics, investigations. I was with the training division. I was director of the training division for several years, and then captain up at the North Precinct, and then made my way up to the chief's office. So right now I oversee the investigation side of the house, which it's three divisions. You have the major crimes division, which is homicide, ag assault, special victims, forensics, and our technical investigations unit. And then on the opposite side, I have special investigations, which is your narcotics, federal task force, fugitive, and the real-time crime center. And then I have community youth and outreach, which is our outreach workers and our school resource officers. So
wow.
A lot to
you
cover.
Stay busy.
But I have excellent supervisors and excellent officers and detectives, and they make it very enjoyable.
Very cool. So we got to go back. So you're homegrown.
Yes. You're born
homegrown.
And raised, Newport News.
So you got to tell the viewers, what high school did you go to?
So I went to Minchville. Yeah,
okay.
I went to, I think it's Ella Fitzgerald now, middle school, and then went to Minchville. So from there, really involved in sports in the community. I played Denby Youth Baseball League, played Wark Little League. I played Oyster Point football back in my heyday, and then played basketball at Jenkins. So very active. I'm from a sports family. My sister, she was big into gymnastics, so she did gymnastics all through college. So every weekend we were either doing something with gymnastics or doing something with football, basketball, or baseball. So, parents, can't thank them enough. They traveled all over the place just to make sure we made our games. So, very blessed. And like I said, Newport News has been great to me. Just growing up, the mentors that I've had, the coaches that I've had, just the interactions I've had, even with other athletes, it's been really great. And it afforded me the opportunity to, I went to University of Virginia on a baseball scholarship, played 4 years for them. Just an amazing time. So
wow,
yeah.
So we had Captain Funiak here.
Yes.
With Community and Youth Outreach
yes.
Division, and she is very proud to
yep.
call herself a Hokie.
Yes, so there's a lot of Hokies in this area,
yeah.
I've learned. That's why I'm sporting my Virginia baseball shirt,
yeah.
Just to give a shout-out to my alma mater. But I do find that even our producer, Matt, scoffed at me for wearing Virginia
really?
Around the office today. So
right.
I got that coming here. So a lot of Virginia Tech fans,
yeah.
Rightfully so. They have a great sports team, football at least. So I always take a beating during football season. I try my best to be a good fan, but let's just say on Saturdays I get a lot of stuff done around the house because I'm not really glued to the TV.
Okay.
But they're doing great in baseball. I think they're ranked number 9 in the country.
Wow.
So off to a good start. So I've been keeping tabs on them.
So you played college baseball?
Yes, I did.
What position did you play?
So I was a pitcher. I was a left-handed pitcher.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did you travel quite a bit with the team?
We did. We traveled. I mean, we traveled a lot. We, we went as far down south as Miami. We had a couple tournaments out in Texas. But, we were in the Atlantic Coast Conference. So, of course, you're playing – it's expanded, it's not as, it wasn't as big as it is now, But we play in Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida were our main trips when we would play away.
And you graduated from the university with what kind of degree?
I had a government degree, and so of course everyone's like, why are you a police officer? You know, well, back then you're young. You know, I went to school. You know, great school. I had a great education. You know, of course I was focused on baseball, so I enjoyed that topic, and so you know, I kind of went in that direction. And then I was thinking, you know, who knows, maybe I'll get a job with the State Department or something. So, you know, after baseball, I played a year of independent ball up in Pennsylvania. And then I kind of realized, you know, I think this is my limit. I'm not going any further. So I came back home looking for a job. And a buddy of mine told me, he said, hey, you know, I'm thinking about putting in for the police department. And I never really thought of it, but I was like, huh, that'd be an exciting job. So I put in with them, and you know, I got picked up. He ended up going with Hampton. You know, shame on him, but yeah, that's another
sorry,
time.
Sorry, Hampton.
Yes, yes. No, but he's still with Hampton. He's been with Hampton for about 20-some years, and we still communicate, and we're really good friends. But, yeah, I got a job with Newport News, and the rest is history.
No regrets.
No, I can tell you this. I've loved the job. I still love the job. It's something new every day. You know, I can tell you sometimes I'm doing stuff, and I'm like, God, I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this. Yeah, you know, you know, especially some of the trainings we do and some of the people you interact with, and just it's I could not imagine doing anything else. I really couldn't.
I think we feel the same, Melissa.
I do.
Yeah, sometimes I have to like literally pinch myself. I can't believe, like you said, we're getting paid to do this. Yeah. It's a love. It's a love.
It is. It is. It's a tough job, no doubt, but it's very rewarding at times, and I think that's what keeps me driven and keeps me coming back.
Yes. Now you're married?
Yes.
Children?
Yes. Okay. I have two children, a 17-year-old and an 11-year-old, both boys. Wow. So my wife, we actually met in the police department. She was in the same academy as I was.
Really?
She was my toughest competition. So of course the ego in me, I was like, she can't beat me. So no, we did a good job kind of pushing each other, and we developed a friendship in the academy. And of course, you know, as we started young in our profession, we grew to like each other. And of course, you know, we ended up getting married. She was with the department for about 3 years, and then she went on to she's had several other professions. She's a nurse, so she's very I guess well versed. She was an esthetician, a massage therapist,
wow,
a police officer, a nurse, a nutrition coach. And now she's back nursing again, so yeah, she enjoys that.
Talking about nutrition, I know that for you and your wife, fitness is a really big deal. It's a lifelong commitment. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, no. So she's always, I mean, and I have too, you know, just being growing up with sports, I've really been into, you know, just staying in shape and just being, you know, strong within yourself, so to speak. I think that has really just helped me. And I think the older I get, the more I'm focused on nutrition, because you know, you take your food as your medicine, or else you're going to have to take your medicine as your food, so to speak.
Wow. That's
so, and my wife, she's really educated me, because she went to school for that. She went to Arizona State University. And so she's well versed in that world, where I kind of wasn't. You know, when you're an athlete and you're playing constantly as a young kid, you can eat whatever you want and it stays off of you. And I remember that magical year.
Don't say it.
I think I was 29 years old and I was like, man, this cheeseburger isn't coming off like it used to. And I started looking at my midsection. I was like, oh my goodness. So I was like, maybe I need to start paying attention here. So it was an eye opener once I kind of got out of the sports world and realized that I need to be a little more cautious on what I eat and maybe exercise a little more. So yeah, we are big. We love anything outdoors. We love anything that we could stay active in.
Right.
Yeah. So.
So you said you've got two boys. Both of them sound like teenage age. So, are you involved in their sports at all?
Yes. Yeah, so my 17-year-old, he's kind of he does his own thing, which, you know, good on him. He's into he's starting to get into weights now. I think he's got a girlfriend now, so he wants to start looking good.
Well, that
good
makes
for
perfect
it.
Sense.
Yes. Yes. So hey,
it all lines up. We get it.
So I'm fine with that. My 11-year-old, he's into baseball. So my dad coaches him, And I try to help out when I can because, you know, our schedules are kind of hectic.
Right.
So I told my dad, I said, look, I'll be out there when I can help you. And I have to remind my dad because he gets very excited. I mean, he's 71 years old. And I have to remind him, hey, you can't coach like it's the 80s anymore, Dad. You can't just yell at these kids just to yell at them. I was like, you have to calm it down a little bit. Right. Things have changed. Yeah. So, but he enjoys it. It keeps him young. And it's, you know, it's rewarding for me to see him kind of give back to my son. Mm-hmm. And seeing him running around the bases. You know, he's 71 years old and he's running. He's having speed competitions with these kids.
I think we met his parents, right? I believe we met your parents. Mm-hmm. They did. The Citizens Police Academy,
yes,
when we were in CYOD,
that is absolutely,
I believe.
Correct.
Your parents
had the pleasure.
Are amazing.
Yes, well,
absolutely.
I appreciate that. They're actually big fans of this show.
Oh.
So I didn't tell them I was going to be on it, so this might be a surprise
this
for them.
This is a surprise for
yes.
them? Oh, that's
yes.
outstanding.
So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, my dad, it was a couple weeks ago, he was like, yeah, I was listening to Morgan talk about his fear of dogs. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah that running code show that you guys have. And I was like, you watch that?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, you, me and my mom watch it, or me and your mother watch it. So they're watching it. I'm sure they'll be watching this, so this might be a surprise to them.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. Now, did you notice the shirt I'm wearing today? Tell your dog I said hi.
That is
well,
a great shirt.
I didn't want all the dogs. I wanted there to be no misunderstanding of what I said. I fear dogs. It's not that I don't like them. So I wanted to make sure I apologize
to the dog lovers out there.
Yeah, I think they're wonderful. Wow.
Yeah.
So I've known you for probably, we've known each other your entire career.
Yeah.
Right. Is there any particular assignment that really stands out that was just extremely gratifying to you, or is it all rewarding?
So I think I mean, some more than others, but I really enjoyed when I was the academy director. You know, you were able to really influence young police officers or young recruits that wanted to be police officers and kind of shape and mold them, and that was rewarding for me because I wanted to make the best police officer I could. Because those officers are the ones who are going to be dealing with our community and servicing our community. So I really enjoyed that. And you know, there was a lot of young talent that was coming through the police academy that I was able to, you know, maybe not, you know, have some type of influence on. So I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I agree with you. As a matter of fact, I was exiting the academy as you were entering the academy and assumed command of the academy. And you're right. Those really are the formative months, obviously combined with the FDO period. Field training officer period where they train directly one-on-one with somebody sit in the car with them and so forth. Those are the formative years. Those where you are really have the most influence on their career. You have an opportunity to create some of the best police officers. And the gratification from that, I agree with you, it's second to none.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, leadership is important in all three of our lives and careers, right? We're all about leadership. We want to develop those officers. But you have their undivided attention for 6 months in a police academy.
Yes.
So, yeah, great experience.
No, and just because I remember the individuals who influenced and mentored me and took the time to teach me what I know today. And those are the people I'll remember for the rest of my life, right?
Yeah.
Your FTOs, your training officers. So I really took that was really important to me because I know it's going to not only shape them, but they will remember the individuals. I always talk about, you know, find somebody that pours into you, right? That doesn't take away, but pours into you and helps develop you to become a better person.
Right.
Right. I think it was Lou Holtz. He wrote a book. He was like, there's two types of people, those who build you up and those who tear you
down. Exactly right.
So be careful who you end up with.
Right. And and they invest in us, right? Our mentors invest in us. So we should reciprocate with others.
Absolutely.
We should invest in others because that carries on. And if we all do that, that cycle's never broken.
Yes.
It continues on and we create some incredible leadership.
No doubt. No doubt. And, you know, you got to have the mindset. If you are about the organization is, you know, train your replacement because one of these days I'm occupying an office right now. One of these days I'm not going to be there. Somebody else is going to step up and take my position. So, you know, you train your replacement, you try to, you know, I guess you try to give that knowledge and experience to others so they can make the best decisions when they're in your position.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah. Continuity. It creates that continuity, right?
Absolutely.
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 Wow. So, this is a great conversation.
So I'm going to do it again.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So apparently there's some talk about possible apology that needs to be made from the times when we were in CYOD. Yeah, drink it up because you're going to be talking for a minute. I need to know, first of all, how we worked together and told each other everything for at least 3 years, and you didn't tell me about this situation. I still don't know the whole story.
It was very traumatic.
So apparently, Chief, there's an apology but before the apology happens, I need to know what actually happened.
I can't believe you never told the story.
Now it is open for public consumption.
No, I do. I feel for years I've carried this guilt, Morgan. I just have to put it out as a public apology to yourself.
But, so, Chief, give the tea. What happened?
So we were at it was a conference in Virginia Beach, and we were in an auditorium style setting. And we were sitting up at the very top, myself, and I think there was another captain with me, and Morgan was sitting next to me. And I just remember it was closer to one of the breaks, and I had a lot of coffee. So I was like, all right, come on, let's hurry up for this break because I gotta use the bathroom, right? And I just remember it was one of those. So the exit wasn't down below. It was everybody had to walk up and out.
Oh, no.
So we break, I stand up, and Morgan, being the gentleman that he is, he steps back to allow me to walk past him because I was a man on a mission, right? And there's a couple steps next to Morgan. And as I'm walking, I hear some noise, and I just see Morgan go right over. And all I remember seeing is like shiny shoes up in the air. and I apologize because I was in go mode because I was like, I got to use the bathroom. Right. So I think, I don't remember this happening, Morgan, but witnesses have told me that I may have stepped over you on my way to the exit.
Yes, you did. You did. No, that's true.
And I think I remember as I hit the door, I was like, oh my goodness. I realized what happened.
Yeah.
So as I was turning around, it was too late. I think state troopers were running up to save you.
The state police helped me. The state police, not my jurisdiction. The state, and also you forgot to mention that as you stepped over me, you said, excuse me.
Well, at least he was polite.
I don't remember that, but like I said, I was a man on a mission. I do remember another captain that I'm not going to call him out was with me, and he followed me right out the door. He might have been a little embarrassed, he said.
Yeah, he was embarrassed. He was mortified that I would fall and embarrass him.
Oh, no.
So, oh, boy. So, of course, the story got out, and the chief found out about it. So he reminds us every now and then in our staff meetings of how I was inconsiderate and just stepped right over poor Morgan, didn't even help him out.
No.
And so he makes me feel bad every time he brings it up. So this is my public apology to you, Morgan.
How about that?
No need for an apology. Absolutely none. Now, Melissa, imagine state police, federal jurisdictions, FBI, all the alphabets, if you will.
All the alphabets.
Yeah, all of them were there, and they saw it all.
And remember, everyone's walking up towards us.
So everybody's attention.
So everyone saw it. And all I remember is seeing shiny shoes kind of in my peripheral.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I gotta get out of here. Yeah.
Topic of the conference forgotten.
Don't even
that
remember
event
what the
we don't live even in history
what the conference
forever.
Was. We don't even know. Okay, got it.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
I can't believe you didn't tell me that.
Yeah, I apologize to you publicly, Melissa. So tell us a little bit about what you do in your spare time.
So I try to spend some time with family, right? Because we spend a lot of hours in the office, and I enjoy here lately camping. We have an RV that we like to go out and just get out in the woods with the family, get off the electronics, and actually just do
stuff
as a family. Yes.
Wait.
Yes.
Is it glamping or camping?
It is.
Because those are two different things.
So I did the tent thing once or twice, and then my wife introduced me to the glamping. And I can tell you,
life changer.
It is, because I can't go back to the tents. It is nice to, at the end of the day, take a shower, use your own bathroom, and sleep in your own bed that is climate controlled.
Wow.
So I am ruined. My wife has ruined me.
She ruined you.
Yes.
That's right. Now, do you travel all over the U.S. or stay locally?
No, so we stay local. We'll go out to the western part of the state, out by the the Appalachian Trail and Shenandoah Valley. We love it out there. It's very calming. Like I said, some areas you don't even get cell reception. And I enjoy that because it takes you a while to get unplugged from the day-to-day.
Right.
But after a couple days, I mean, you forget about it and you just you're just with the family.
So you decompress.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Kind of recharge your battery to come back.
Yes. I think, I mean, we all need to do that. In this line of work, I mean, we're high stress. We're dealing with a lot of issues. I think we all need to have an outlet to where we can kind of step away and recharge, like you were saying. It's important for your mental health. It really
is. Oh, yeah, I
agree.
That's
that work-life balance that we all fight for.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Critical for us to have a long and enjoyable career.
Yes.
We have to have that outlet, right?
Well, and I tell a lot of officers, too, it's like you have to take care of yourself before you can take care of others. Mm-hmm. And if I expect you to take care of 185,000 citizens in our city, you have to be good up here.
Yeah.
And so to do that, you have to put in the work. And the work is being able to decompress, have hobbies that you enjoy doing, spend time with your family. I mean, you got to be right in the head in order to go out and help people, especially in their most critical moments.
Yeah, right? I agree.
You can't pour from an empty cup.
Yeah, you absolutely.
Can. And I know, and I hear when you speak, and even in our daily conversations, all of these characteristics that you display and all of these things that you put forth to your people about caring for others and decompressing and having that's really good, solid leadership. Talk a little bit about how important is leadership to you?
Well, I mean, you know, there's a saying that says, you know, people will quit their boss before they quit their job. Right.
Right.
And so I think it's critical. It's critical in our line of work. It's critical in having a healthy organization, you know, having leaders that care about you, right? That want put your best interest forward, that want you to succeed.
Right.
You know, and it's something I tell my kid, I'm like, son, I'm probably the only man in your life that wants you to do better than me. You know? But it's having that mentality, not just for your kids, but for the people that work for you, is wanting them to do better than you have done for yourself.
Absolutely.
You know, giving them the opportunities, giving them if they want the mentorship, giving them what they need to be successful. And I tell our people constantly, it's you guys are our best resource. I mean, all the equipment and the cars, and it's all nice to have, and all the technology. But if we don't have people operating those, people being out there dealing with the issues, I mean, all that stuff is a waste of money. So, you know, our people are our best resource, and, you know, you got to take care of them so they can take care of the customer, which is the 185,000 citizens that live in our city.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's beautiful. I mean, that is what it is, and that's just good, solid leadership.
Yeah.
And we should all subscribe to that. You know, and I noticed that you had mentioned Lou Holtz. Great, great, great book by him.
Yeah.
Great. He's got some great videos out. And I remembered on one occasion he talked about the dash. I don't know if you remember that. Mm-hmm. He talked about, you know, we live and then we die. Yes. And
that's
what matters is the dash.
Yes,
and
that's
I think
the important thing.
That's
Absolutely.
Also critically important in our careers.
Yes.
No matter what we choose to do in whatever career you choose, what have you done for others?
Yes.
That's the dash. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's so important. And we joke around a lot, but we all three take that very seriously.
Yeah.
Because like you said, one day we're not going to be here.
Yeah.
And we got to turn it over to someone else.
Yeah, I agree with, you know, just to kind of hit on that, it's that's the stuff you remember in this line of work. We deal with arrests and we deal with some critical incidents, but the lives that you change in this job is what you remember. And I'll tell a quick story. John Marshall Elementary School. So I used to read to the kids there when I was in the academy because it's right close. So the Mayor's Book Club.
Yep.
So I used to do that, and I remember I went to this class, and it was the kids. I think they had like ADHD, you know, they had some learning difficulties, right? So it was a very rambunctious class, right? So I went in there, and the kids were great. And so I was reading to them, and I remember one female in the back just crying and screaming. And I was just thinking, okay, maybe, you know, she's having a tough day.
Sure.
And I remember them saying, no, she's crying because you're there. And I was like, oh my goodness. I mean, that was tough to hear because I was in uniform. And, you know, you don't do this line of work to scare people,
right?
Or at least I never did. So I was like, man, that was a tough pill to swallow. So I remember after that, I was like, okay, I'm going to keep going back and I'm going to keep going back and I'm going to keep reading to the same class. Right. And every time I would go back, I would spend a little time with that girl and I would give her like tickets. I would give her Slurpee tickets. I would give her the stickers that we have, but I wanted to build like a relationship. And I'll never forget. And It was towards the end of the school year, and I show up, and she comes running to me, and she gives me this big hug. And yeah, I'm like getting choked up about it now. But I'll never forget that. And it's funny too, because she had like a runny nose and she had snot all over my leg. And I didn't even
care.
I was like,
right.
And it was to this day, I remember that. That was one of the best hugs I've ever gotten from somebody. And it was just like being able to change that life.
Yes.
Or to change that perspective. Wow. Because we don't know, you know, you never know what someone's going through or what someone's has dealt with. And obviously, she had a traumatic experience with a police officer.
Yes.
You know, whether it's her or her family. And so to be able to make that, I mean, that's a small change, right? But hopefully in that girl's life, it's a big change.
Yeah. Right.
And so to be able to do that, I mean, that I'll never forget that. I really won't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. We typically show up on people's worst day.
Yeah.
You know, so when you get the opportunity to make a difference like that in somebody's life, you got to take it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's awesome.
Like I said, it's the little things that keep, at least for me, that keeps me coming back and keeps me driven to continue doing what, you know, what we do. You know, it's like somebody has to do it. Thank God people are willing to step up to do it. And that's why I tell the recruits that are willing to do the because we do sacrifice, right? We miss birthdays. We miss all kinds of family events because of our schedule. And it's like, thank you for doing what you're doing, because it's rewarding and it changes lives.
It makes a difference.
Yes,
truly
absolutely.
Does. It truly matters.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, how are we doing? And by the way, Kelly, unfortunately, is feeling a little under the weather today. So we have our co-producer, Matt. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing well, Captain.
Are we good on time, my friend?
Yeah, I think we're about ready. We can head into that rapid fire if you think Chief's ready for it.
I think he's up for it. But one last thing, Chief, correct me if I'm wrong. Do you have chickens? Do you raise chickens?
I do.
You do?
That is so random. Wait a minute.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
They're my wife's chickens.
But oh, really?
I enjoy eating their eggs. So I do. We have a coop and everything. And I'll tell you a quick story. I know we're running.
It's okay. We're good.
So this is something, too. Has anybody ever wrestled a deer?
No.
Okay. So
into the crock pot, maybe.
Yeah. So one morning, I'm in my bed, or I'm getting my coffee, and I hear my neighbor's dogs just going crazy, and I'm like, what is going on? And our chicken run, we have kind of like a portable chicken fence to let them that extends into the backyard, and I'm like, these dogs are making a lot of noise, and it's like 7 in the morning, and I look and I see this, it's a deer, it had to be like maybe a teenage deer, because its antlers weren't that big, a couple inches. And it's tied up in my portable chicken fence, and it's jumping all over the backyard. And I'm going, what in the world? And it's getting tangled up in the fence. So I'm like, what in the world am I? I'm still in my PJs. Like, what am I going to do here? So I walk out, and I'm just like watching this thing. And it's kicking everything in my backyard, just making a mess. And the more it's moving, it's getting more and more tangled up in the fence. And then it would lay down and rest, and then it would do it again. And I'm just going, so I'm calling animal control, and they're like, hey, we don't have anybody that's going to get to you anytime soon. And they're like, they're talking about they're probably going to have to euthanize it. And so my 11-year-old's next to me, and we're just watching this. I'm sitting here in my backyard watching this, and he goes, Dad, you got to go help it. So I'm like, okay. So I build up the courage, and I'm walking closer and closer to this thing. And the next time it's like laying down, catching its breath, I like jump on top of it.
Like an alligator?
I'm holding on to the antlers, right? And I'm holding on to this thing, and it's trying to get up. And so I keep it off its legs, and I have like the death grip on it. I'm like, this thing is not going to spike me with its antlers. So I'm in the backyard. I'm still in my PJs. And my wife goes running into the house to get scissors, right? And because she's gonna cut the fence off of it. You know, it's like a nylon fence. And as I'm holding on to it, I'll never forget this. I'm like holding on, and this thing's panting, and I'm just deathlock on it, right? Yeah. I'm like, this thing's not going to get away from me. And I see my son kind of inching into my view, and I'm like, and he goes, Dad, I want to pet it. And so I'm like, son, get out of here. And he was fascinated. He was like, all he wanted to do was pet it. And so my wife comes running out with the scissors. I'm holding it down. She's cutting the fence around its neck and its antlers. And finally we get it freed. And I'm like, so I roll off of it as fast as I can. And it runs into the woods. Oh, I'm covered in mud. I'm still in my PJs. And I'm like, I'm like panting because, of course, now I'm just like, oh, I'm out of breath, you know. And I'm walking back into the house, and my son, he's just like, Dad, how'd it feel? So that was, I was something that I never thought I'd ever end up having to do. And but I'm glad we didn't have to. I'm glad no one had to come out and euthanize it. And hopefully that deer is a full buck now and living a good life.
Wow. So what a great story. Gosh.
Deer wrestling. That's a new one for the show.
Yes. Never thought it would happen to me.
I wish there was a photo of that. A video is even better. Melissa, you want to start?
Okay.
Rapid fire. Here we go.
Rapid fire. Favorite subject in high school?
Ooh, math.
Math?
Yes.
What?
I enjoy math.
Math.
Analytical mind?
Yes. Or?
Like numbers, huh?
I like solving problems.
Oh, very good. Perfect for a police worker. Yeah. Well.
There you go.
Okay. Favorite pizza topping?
Ooh, pizza topping. I like mushrooms.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not the canned ones.
No.
The fresh ones.
Yes.
We have standards.
We do.
We have standards.
Absolutely.
That's right. Yes. Okay.
All right. Favorite season?
Spring. Because baseball.
Baseball.
Yes.
Okay. I thought you were going to say traveling or something.
Nope.
Baseball.
Nope.
Okay. Sports.
The weather's getting warm. Baseball starting up. Yep.
Boom. Type of movie, comedy, horror, action, or drama?
Ooh, I'm a comedy guy. I think we get enough drama at work. I need to come home and laugh. Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
All right.
All right. We're going to do this again. And I still don't have an answer. So don't throw it back to me. But if you could have one superpower for a day, what would your superpower be?
Ooh, superpower. Wow. I think flying. I mean, what what kid wouldn't love to fly around and just see it from a different view?
Yeah. Who needs an airplane?
I mean, yeah, Superman, right? You could fly around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go anywhere you want.
I think that's more than reasonable, actually.
Yeah.
So thanks very much for being here today. Melissa and I appreciate it.
I had a good time.
Thanks for coming.
I'm glad to hear that. Yep. I know that, you know, on a serious note, your commitment to the police department, and especially the people that you serve, the citizens, is extraordinary. I know you work long hours, especially as an assistant chief. You and the rest of the chiefs are going out in the middle of the night when bad things happen out there supporting the officers in the field and the field commanders, and especially supporting the citizens who are out there that see some pretty horrific things, and the families of the victims and everything. So we're very thankful. I know Melissa and I are very thankful to have leadership like you and the others within our agency that really support the team.
I couldn't do it, and I'll give a shout out here. I couldn't do it. I have an amazing family. My wife and kids, they're understanding. Now, every now and then I get kicked out of the bed and onto the couch when my phone rings too much. But for the most part, I mean, she understands. And I think it helped that she kind of did the work as well. So I there's no way, and I think a lot of us could say the same thing, that you can't do it without a good support system, without a good family, without people that understand, you know, what you deal with day in and day out. So I there's no way I would be where I'm at today without my family and without my parents supporting me.
I agree. And a lot of the credit goes to our family. Our support network is tremendous. And it's not only our family, it extends outward and even into the community.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for being here today.
All right.
So that wraps up this podcast here. But before we go, Melissa, we got to tell them about the like button. Would you like to tell them about that?
Yes. Look below, hit the like button.
And subscribe.
Thanks for catching the show today, guys.
Yeah. Cheers. Be safe.